Hello, good evening, and welcome to Farming News and Views on Highland Radio. I'm Chris Ashmore. Coming up, I'll be getting some reaction about this week's budget and what it means for farmers in Donegal. But first, I've been speaking to the IFA Livestock Committee Chairman, Angus Woods, about cattle prices, the ABP Slaney Meats joint venture and its implications, and growing concerns about Brexit and what weakening sterling could mean for our agricultural exports. I began by putting it to Angus, we have a lot of things coming down the track, not least the ABP Slaney move. The joint venture has got European Commission clearance, and I know at local IFA meetings here, we're a long way from the southeast, but the impact, and there is a feeling that it's not going to help with less competition.
Yeah, I mean, look, that was all our concern all along, and that's why we felt it was important that we got someone who was skilled to investigate what the actual level of competition was or is in the beef industry. So as you know, then we hired a competition expert to look into it. And the conclusion of his report was that before the joint venture got approval, the meat industry suffered from what he described as weak levels of competition in the country, and he reckoned that the joint venture would weaken it even further. So that was the basis for our nervousness about the joint venture that as was proposed. And we set about making our views known on that, which we felt it was very important to do from a long-term point of view and from an industry point of view. Now, obviously, we would have been very disappointed when the Irish Competition Authority decided with not too much investigation that that they believed that there was nothing to investigate in on it. And I suppose the Europeans, given that the IFA were the only people that lodged any serious objections to it or questions about it, the Europeans felt it was okay to let it go ahead. And I suppose we haven't got the full details. It'll take about 3 months to get the full details of the European report. But what we do know about it is the Europeans felt that Irish farmers are more than willing to drive the length and the breadth of the country to sell cattle to different factories, and hence they would they'd not be interfering with competition because farmers would be willing to drive from, let's say, Donegal to wherever with their cattle if they weren't happy with the price they were getting, which is completely contrary to the Irish Competition Authority's own findings in the previous case involving Dawn Meats. The Irish Competition Authority themselves found that Irish farmers tended to try and deal within a 60-mile radius of where they farmed. So it's interesting that the original Irish Competition Authority's view on farmers' willingness to travel differs completely on what the Europeans found, and hence there are questions to be asked about why the Irish Competition Authority felt it wasn't necessary to stay involved in it.
Which brings me on, appropriately, from a Donegal point of view, Brexit, there's this fear of borders and a hard border. Will it return, despite what has been said? And certainly for somebody from Donegal moving cattle, yes, you can go around by Sligo some of the time, but if there's delays going through the north to other places, that's something that's going to affect many people. Sterling being so weak, and well, we've had a few real scare stories the last couple of days, it must be a big concern because it's going to hit exports.
Well, I suppose, the reality is that we put approximately 50% of what we produce over into the UK market from a beef point of view. So sterling is always something that we would be keeping an eye on. And hence, I suppose, any uncertainty in the market and that would make life a little bit more difficult to deal with. But having said that, the UK market is not self-sufficient in beef. The reality is we're producing a product to the standards that the UK retailer demands, which you know, a lot of our competing countries do not. So there is markets there for us. The big issue we have at the moment is sterling. From an IFA point of view, there's probably not that much we can actually do about sterling and how it fluctuates. There's nothing we can do about that. But what we are working on is the whole Brexit, and we feel it's vitally important. The budget is out of the way now. We feel it's vitally important that the government rolls up its sleeves and really gets down and gets serious about where Brexit is leading. And I suppose rather than waiting to see where it ends up, I feel that we need to be in there, in Europe and in the UK, trying to influence the end result. And that's something that we'll be working very hard on to try and maximise the leverage we have, because we do have a special relationship. We've traded with the UK, huge sums for years and years at this stage, and potentially any kind of a hard Brexit would be negative from a trading point of view. So we feel it's important, now that the budget is out of the way, that the government really, really gets engaged in Brexit and looks at it from a trading point of view is critical.
Angus Woods there, the IFA Livestock Committee Chairman. There are always winners and losers in the budget, but one thing is sure, few people's lives are radically altered. So what are the main points from a farming point of view? To get one perspective on Budget 2017, I've been speaking with Eddie Punch, General Secretary of the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association. He believes that it contained a mixed bag as far as farmers are concerned.
I suppose, there's good and bad in it. From a taxation point of view, we welcome any move to improve the scenario for self-employed people, but we'd note that there's some rowing back on that commitment that was brought in last year. So essentially, they're increasing the tax credit for self-employed people, but not as much as had been flagged in last year's budget. And that means essentially that we still have this anomaly where self-employed people on exactly the same income pay more tax than people who are employees. So we'd like to see that fully rectified in the next budget, but there seems to be a slowing down on the commitments there. On the other hand, they've improved the thresholds for capital acquisitions tax for transfers of farms from parents to children, and somewhat of an increase as well for other categories of transfers, and they've extended farm restructuring relief. So on the taxation side, I suppose a little bit of movement, nothing hugely is going to make a huge difference to people in their wallets, I suppose. On the other side of course, from a farming point of view, we always look at what is involved in the schemes, and the announcements basically are that there, as was anticipated, that there will be 25 million in place for sheep scheme, and that there would be overall a rural development program of 601 million to be precise, for the year 2017. But of course, that 600 million is co-funded by Brussels. This isn't all Exchequer money. It's about 54% Brussels money, 46% Exchequer money. And it makes absolute sense for us to spend that money, to use the Exchequer funds to leverage more money from Brussels.
One area that has got quite a lot of attention locally, and perhaps reflecting the way things are on the ground, pharmacist, and there had been cuts in recent years, but at least things are maybe going now in the other direction?
Yeah, I suppose in line with the general sense of increasing welfare payments, there's, there's €5 extra across the board on welfare payments, and this will benefit pharmacists, and some easing up of the conditions as well. So a pharmacist is very important for a lot of low-income farmers. And, we always advise farmers to look at pharmacists first before they look for any complicated solutions. You often hear solutions about keep more livestock, be more intensive, invest more money. And in a lot of cases, the first thing that families should do in particular is look, do they qualify for some sort of top-up payment under Farm Assist? And in a lot of cases, this can be really beneficial to families where income is very tight and people are getting it hard to rear their families.
Cash flow is so important for so many, and there's a little bit of flexibility under income averaging.
Yeah, it's just a, I suppose, as people, again, this is kind of quite complex, but in a nutshell, people will be allowed opt out of income averaging, and that this is coming in straight away. So, you know, if people have got into income averaging, the problem with that is that when you have a particularly, income averaging works well, I suppose, when you have a good year, but when you have a bad year, it can catch you in the subsequent tax period. So what has happened here is that you'll now be able to opt out of the income averaging for a year, and that basically means deferring a higher tax bill to a later year when you might have better cash flow to do it. So that's a help. I suppose in an overall sense, it's getting harder and harder to find a fair taxation system to cope with the huge volatility we see in the farming sectors in terms of income, you know, and we've seen this with, you know, one year can be good for, particularly, I suppose, for dairy farmers. Our members in cattle and sheep don't have that many good years, but you can have a good year followed by a couple of bad years, and it's very hard to say that, you know, a tax system that's very rigid is fair in that scenario. A tax system is designed to, I suppose, cope with people who are generally making similar money every year, and you don't get that in farming.
A lot of people would feel that they're being fleeced by the banks in terms of interest charges because the ECB rates at historical or near historical lows. It's all right if you are in a position maybe to look for a bit of funding. This new cash flow support fund that has come in, on the plus side, it is at a lower interest rate.
Yeah. So what's happening here is that they're going to take funds available from the Strategic Banking Corporation. And this is money essentially that's there for businesses and for farmers, which is Brussels money essentially, and they're going to subsidise the interest rate by using the emergency fund plus some top up from the National Exchequer. And the detail we have at the moment is that the interest rate will be 2.95%, and that farmers will be able to apply for this anytime up to September 2017. So, you know, this, I suppose there's a couple of things to say about this. First of all, it does perhaps provide an opportunity for people to get out of a kind of a vicious circle or a vicious cycle maybe of debt where they're depending on, you know, creditors who shouldn't really be their creditors, merchants and co-ops and the like. And people use this credit because, you know, they get into difficulty with cash flow. They don't pay their bills in time. The merchant facilitates them, but the merchant really shouldn't have to be in the business of being a banker, ends up charging, you know, interest rates that are way higher than what is, you know, feasible for people to repay. And likewise, of course, you have a lot of people who have overdrafts with banks where the interest rates are far too high. And this is perhaps an opportunity for some of those people to restructure their debt, get out of this cycle of being continuously owing money to agricultural contractors, co-ops and so on, at a lower interest rate. And if they can then, I suppose, stick with that, it can get them on a better path. But on the other hand, I suppose we'd be a little bit worried that some people might see this as a justification for undertaking additional investment or additional borrowings without looking properly at the viability of their enterprises. And so ICSA would take the view that, you know, okay, if you've got debt and you need to restructure it, maybe this is a good thing. If you're going to undertake further investment, make sure that you're not using a low interest rate, a subsidized interest rate, to paper over the cracks of an unviable investment plan. And certainly be very careful about getting into further bank borrowings. We in ICSA have seen a lot of people over the years who've bitten off more than they can chew. And in those kind of cases, you know, the interest rate, you know, is important, but the real issue is that they've borrowed more money than they can pay back. So we say it's a welcome idea, but it comes with a lot of caveats.
And finally and briefly, you made representations in the run-up to it. Do you feel that many of them were actually taken on board?
Well, there's no doubt from an ICSA point of view, we were keen to see a sheep scheme. And we wanted a scheme that had a minimum of bureaucracy. We're still, I suppose, trying to tweak it a little bit with the department in terms of the exact detail of it. But the essentials of it are something ICSA wanted, where farmers would be given options from a menu so they could select actions that made good sense from the point of view of better sheep farming. And we wanted a scheme that had a minimum of bureaucracy, as I say, no long-term contracts, and we'd be happy with that. We would also say, I think, looking forward now down the track, that we really have to end this discrimination against self-employed people in terms of the tax credits. We want to see further reductions in the Universal Social Charge, the USC, because what a lot of people don't understand is that the different tax treatment of the USC means that people on relatively low incomes who've undertaken investment on their farms, who expect that they would have little or no income tax bill, can get a very nasty shock with quite a significant liability under the USC. So we want to see that tax phased out, and we want to see the self-employed treated. You know, let's face it, during the bust years, when all around, you know, the big kind of employers were falling down in terms of keeping the economy going, self-employed small-scale farmers kept employment and economic activity in every parish in Donegal and indeed right across Ireland. And we have to understand that self-employed people are often the lifeblood of rural communities, and tax discrimination against them is an old-style hang-up from politicians who don't understand how important self-employed people are to the economy.
Eddie Punch, the General Secretary of the Irish Cattle and Sheep Farmers Association. Meanwhile, IFA President Joe Healy has stated that the budget responded positively to his organisation's farm income campaign. In particular, he highlighted the measures on low-cost loans, increasing funding for farm schemes, and the reversal of cuts to farm assist. Just time for the livestock prices. Cattle prices, steers making €3.70 a kilo, heifers €3.80 to €3.85 a kilo. O-grade bulls, €3.65 a kilo. R-grade, €3.75 a kilo. U-grade, €3.85 a kilo. Cows making €2.95 to €3.30 a kilo. Sheep prices, spring lamb, €4.60 a kilo plus to 22 kilos. Ewes making €2.40 a kilo. And the message, lamb is scarce, bargain hard. Well, that's it for tonight's edition. Many thanks for listening. Until next week, from me, Chris Ashmore. Goodbye.